So if you, when you get it, if you fold it in half, I didn't get a chance to fold them in half, I'm sorry, but fold it in half, and the scriptures we'll be looking at today are there. Now, we've been in an Advent sermon series over the last 4 weeks where we've been looking at what it means to wait expectantly. That's what Advent is about, waiting expectantly for the birth of Christ that then points forward to Jesus' second coming when he returns. And all those that are found in him, that love him, go and spend an eternity with him. His kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven. And during this season of Advent, what we find is it's so busy, isn't it, the Christmas season, the run-up to Christmas. We are busy getting our shopping. We're busy getting all the gifts. We're busy celebrating lots of different things. And sometimes we can forget to celebrate the most important thing, which is the gift of Jesus this Christmas time. And so Oikos Erdington here, over the last few weeks, we've been like pondering and what does it mean to prepare him room, prepare room for Jesus in our lives and make space for him this Advent time. And I confess that this Christmas time, I have been making room for spending time with the Lord, with Jesus. But also, I've got caught up in doom scrolling. Does anyone know what doom scrolling is? I'm reliably informed that it's when you spend like an hour or two of your life, or maybe even more, looking through Instagram and Facebook videos or pictures, and just an hour or two has gone before you've even realized it, and it just leaves you discontent because everyone's life looks incredible, and then it leaves you anxious and fearful. But there was one really good video that I found, and it was worth it for that one video. There's a pastor called Rick Warren, who's an author of The Purpose-Driven Life and The Purpose-Driven Church. Actually, I think it's the 15th best-selling book of all time in the world. So he's quite an influential guy. And he was speaking in front of what must have been about 10,000 students that were graduating from university. And he said this. He said, "Your number one purpose in life isn't to love God more. Your greatest purpose in life is to let God love you." Bit of a mic drop moment there. And he said that he's had thousands of people come up to him saying, "I don't think I love God enough. That's my biggest problem." And he says, "No, your biggest problem is that you don't understand how much God loves you." And so I've got the brilliant opportunity today and goal today of purely preaching to you, telling you, let God love you this Christmas. What a great message I get to bring today. Very excited by this. And so I've achieved my goal. If you feel more loved by God, and if you're going away from here thinking, I want to go and experience, and I know some ways in which I can go and posture myself in a way which means I get to experience and feel God's love. Because he does love you. He does love you. The creator of the universe, the God who created the world in 7 days, who sent his son Jesus to die so he could be back in relationship with him, loves you so much, and he wants you to know how much you are loved by him. And so to start with, the starting place is we kind of need to understand what is God's love, and maybe how does it compare to the love that we experience in this world at times, the love of the world. And so when we think about worldly love, we can often think, actually, it's quite conditional, isn't it? I'll love you if you do this for me. I'll love you if you live up to my standard and you give me what I want. I'm going to love you for this week, but I can't guarantee I'm going to love you next week. And that's kind of the way love works, doesn't it? We experience love depending upon how well we're performing or if we're worthy of their love and so forth. And that kind of is quite a debilitating place to be. Whereas we see the God's love, and we see this all in Scripture. But 1 John really stuck out to me as I was preparing today. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7, it says this: "Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And so to start with, the difference between God and us is that God's character, his very nature, his character is that he is love. We aren't love. We try and love. But God is actually love. It's his nature. He cannot help but love. That's his natural disposition. And this is how God showed that natural disposition, his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. But this is not love. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. In verse 19, it says, we love because he first loved us. It is God's very nature. He is love. And he has shown us his great love by sending his Son. But the rest of that clip that Pastor Rick Warren shares when in his speech is he also says this. He says, you see, God loves you in your good days. He loves you in your bad days. He loves you when you feel like it, and he loves you when you don't feel like it. He loves you when you do the right thing. He loves you when you do the wrong thing. Because God's love is not based on who you are, but on who he is. It's not based on what you do, but on what Christ has done for you. The cross. The blood streaming out of Jesus' body is him saying, I love you this much. I love you so much that it hurts. And I would rather die than live without you. And you can't make God stop loving you. Now let that just sink in for a moment. You see, it means that God's love in Scripture is the word agape. It means it's unconditional love. He loved you before we loved him, which means it's not performance based. It's not based on how well you do or how you're feeling or whether you're worthy enough or not. He loved us before we even could love him. It's unconditional. It's not based on anything that we've done. And as we saw, it's sacrificial. God sent his Son Jesus to die on the cross for us. It was a sacrificial love. It's a love that cost him everything. And yet he was willing to give it for us. It's persistent. It's a love story that went on for centuries and centuries, for millennia. He sent his Son to win us back so we could be back in relationship with him. And it is transformational. We know that for those that are walking with Jesus, their lives are being transformed, completely transformed to a new way of thinking, a new way of living. You see, sometimes human love can be a little bit like a candle. It's warm, yet it's very, very fragile, isn't it? A bit of wind, and it just goes out. But you see, God's love is like the sun. It's steady, it's life-giving, and it's always shining. It never stops. John Piper says this. He says, God's love is the ultimate treasure. Delighting in it reshapes every aspect of life. This Christmas, will you posture yourself to let God show you his love? Will you receive it? And so God's love is unconditional. It's sacrificial. It's persistent. It's transformational. It's incredible. I'm way behind on this, don't worry. But secondly, we need to be rooted in the reality of God's love. For us to receive it, for us to enjoy it, we need to be rooted in the reality of God's love. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he says this in verse 16. It's in your handouts. He says this from verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, we'll come on to that in a minute. But he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you may be rooted and established in love. You see, quickly, we can't experience God's love unless we have Christ living in us through his Holy Spirit. And that's for anybody that's repented of their sins and said, I'm sorry, I need a Saviour. Jesus is the Saviour. He's the one that went to the cross to die for my sins, took the penalty that I deserve. And we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, Christ in us. And so for us to experience God's love, we need to receive Christ first and foremost. But for then us to be established and rooted in his love, for us to enjoy experiencing that love ongoing in our relationship with him, we need to be rooted in that. We need to root ourselves down in that. And I think Paul gives us this picture of what it means for us to be rooted, for us to be able to experience and to enjoy God's love. That picture of a tree being rooted and established next to life-giving water. Anchoring ourselves in the certainty of his love. That's where it starts. We start by anchoring ourselves and knowing God loves me. He sent his son for me. And therefore, when we feel like it or whether we don't, that never changes, the certainty of his love. It's not based on how we perform. That doesn't make any difference. But if we root ourselves in God, root ourselves in the surety of his love for us, we realize our identity is now as his children. He's our father. He loves us as a father loves a son. He loves us unconditionally. But if we're rooted in water that is filled with polluted water of this world that tells us that love is just based on how you perform and how you do, it's going to lead to anxiety and to fear. But I want us to focus on some practical ways in which we can maybe grow these roots. Let the living water of God's word really deep rooted into us so that we can know his love. And firstly, just really simply, I think this is the takeaway of every sermon, which is pray more, read the Bible more, and those things. But the idea is to prayer and presence. Prayer and presence. Sitting quietly, letting God speak to us, speak his love to us. Dallas Willard puts it like this. He says, he says that true life with God comes from living moment by moment in his presence, being rooted in his love, letting his spirit shape us. As Richard Foster says in his book, he says, the true life with God comes from living moment by moment in his presence. That's Dallas Willard. Richard Foster says this. He says, teaches that the inward disciplines, prayer, meditation, and scripture are not exercises, not just exercises. There are ways of letting God's love sink deep into our hearts. And so as we read his word, it's not reading it as a book, it's letting it meditating on his word, meditating on passages of scripture that show his love for us. It's worship and gratitude. It's living in a way where we're singing praise songs to God all through the week, not just on a Sunday, reading his psalms and praying them back to him. Gratitude, a heart that says, thank you, God, for everything, every blessing that you have given me. It's remembering the manger, this Christmas time. Love come down to make a way for us to be back with the Father. It's remembering the cross and everything Jesus did. It's community. It's living in community. It's the stories we tell one another of how God has been good, not 10, 15, 20 years ago, as important that is when we first came to faith, but how has God shown his love for you in this last week? How have you seen answered prayer? Where have you seen him at work in your lives? And encouraging one another in that. Fellowshipping together. So this Christmas time and into the new year, as we think about a new year and a new start, how are we doing with posturing ourselves in a way that lets God's love wash over us in his word? Through spending time in prayer and solitude, through worshipfully singing to him, and thanking him for all that he's done. Are we living in a way that is community-based, where we're able to speak into one another's lives and say, this is where I've seen God at work. He loves you so much. But if you're anything like me, there are things that stop me from coming before him and enjoying his love and experiencing it. Things like distrust. Maybe it's past hurts, where you've been hurt. You've experienced love, but it's been the love of this world where it's been fleeting and temporary. and you're done with it, and it just hurts too much. Maybe it's your performance mindset that you must earn God's love. There must be something that you can do to earn it. If I just behave and I'm good this week, or I don't screw up this week, God will love me more. Or maybe it's you're carrying around shame and guilt from the past years of things that you've done, your failures and your faults, and you're carrying them and you've not given them over and received the forgiveness that Jesus came to give you. You see, it's our unworthiness that makes us willing recipients of God's grace and his love. But if you're carrying that shame and guilt around, you're going to struggle to receive the full love that comes from God. In his book, Dane Ortlin, Gentle and Lowly, that we looked through a few years ago as a church, he says this. He says, that place in your life where you feel most defeated, he is there. He lives there, right there. And his heart is for you, not on the other side of it, but in that darkness, he's gentle and lowly. You may be carrying around guilt and shame. You may not know what to do with it. You may have tried to forget about it, but it keeps on coming back in some way. Well, you see, it's where Jesus doesn't leave us then. He's with us. He's with you wherever you are. He's with you in the most darkest of times. And he loves you. And he wants you to know that he loves you. Well, I've been fortunate to, over the last few months, to be having a coach to coach me along on some things, to work through some things with me. And what was really apparent from the first meeting, when you've got a good coach, they're really good, and they can speak, see things in your life. And he was, he noticed that there was maybe some deep-rooted things or faulty way of thinking of things that I had had for many, many years that I didn't even realise I had. And what it was I had a view of myself, not a positive one, and I didn't like what I saw. And actually, he helped me realise that I'm not seeing myself as God sees me. I'm seeing myself as I see me, which is faulty and wrong. There may be some true things about that, but he said, that's not how what God thinks of you. And it was really, really painful. Really, really painful. Because saying, oh, God loves you, it's a great thing to say, and it's true. But if you don't experience it, if you're not putting yourself in a place of believing that and actually putting yourself in the place of working out how he loves me and why he loves me and what scripture says about it, you're kind of going off on things you know are true that you've heard, but you're not experiencing it for yourself. And so it's been really painful, but it's been really, really good, because it's meant that I've had to look at scripture again, things I knew were true, but actually speak those things over myself, fearfully and wonderfully made. My identity is as a son of God. God sees me as his son. I don't have to perform all those things. And the hardest thing about it is that I thought it'd be really easy to do those things, but it's incredibly hard to put yourself in a place where you're like, this is how I see myself, but this is how God sees me. And it takes effort, it takes committing time, and it takes commitment to do that. It's not just as easy as saying, God loves you, that's brilliant, I'll take that. It takes time and commitment. And so maybe you're a little bit like me. Maybe you can get down on yourself sometimes and just think badly or carry fear and guilt and shame and things like that. But unless we get into the scriptures, unless we meditate on his word, unless we listen to what God truly says about us, we won't be able to let him love us, and we'll find it hard to love him. So I'd encourage you this Christmas, make space for that. Create time for that. Enjoy doing that. It will be hard to begin with, but I can promise you it reaps benefits, because when you know that you are loved unconditionally, the greatest feeling in the world, isn't it, guys? It's incredible. So, just to finish that point. You see, there is a gift that we have and that we don't need to hesitate to take it. It's God standing there gently and saying, this is for you. I love you. Will you take it? And this Christmas, we've got a choice. Do we live in that? Do we live with the opportunity to know that God loves and experience that? Or do we refuse to take it? A bit of a challenge for us this Christmas. Fourthly, this scripture from Paul in Ephesians 3, it reminds us that we need to grasp the grandeur of God's love, just how incredible and huge it is. Now, I don't know if you're like me. I'm kind of this guy that wears his heart on his sleeve, and I'm also a guy that loves words of affirmation. That's my love language. So if someone says something positive about me, I'm like, I'm your best friend for temporary. No, I'm your best friend until you say something bad about me. No, that's not true. I love words of affirmation. It makes me feel really good. And so my day is basically made up of when I'm at home, go to work and I come home. My morning is, Nikki, I love you. Do you love me? I love you, Dan. Eben, do you love me? Yes, Daddy. Agnes, what about you? Yes, Daddy, you're the best. Caleb is my favourite. He's not my favourite one, but he says the favourite thing. He's like, Daddy, I love you. Anyway, I could go on about that for ages. But I will probably ask 30 or 40 times in a day some words of affirmation from my families. Do you love me? And eventually, after the 30th time, it gets to the point where I think they've had enough. And they're saying, yes, we love you. Just don't ask us again, Daddy. Or husband, as the case may be. And it got me thinking, how often do I posture myself in a place of saying, God, do you love me? When I know the answer, yes, I love you, Dan. God, do you love me? I love you so much, I sent my son for you. God, do you love me? You know I love you, I'm your father. And it could go on and on and on. And the difference will be that he just won't get bored of telling me if I put myself in that position. Put myself in the position of asking Nikki 30 times a day, how often do I ask God? You see, in this next bit of Ephesians, Paul writes, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. So you've got to grasp it. It doesn't come naturally, does it? You've got to grasp it. You've got to work it. You've got to grab it. And it says, how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. How much do you love me? I love you wider than the universe, Dan. How much do you love me? I love you before you were knit in your mother's womb and into eternity. How much do you love me? I love you higher than Mount Everest. How much do you love me? I love you deeper than the biggest pit than you could ever get yourself into, the lowest you could ever go. I will still love you no matter what. No matter how much you mess up, I will love you. Have we grasped how wide and how long and how high and how deep the love of God is? Because when we do, no matter what we've done, no matter what pit of despair we get ourselves into, we know that he won't leave us there. He doesn't want us to be there. He doesn't want to leave us there, but he's there with us. C.S. Lewis says this. He says, God loves each of us as if there were only one of us. Isn't that incredible? God loves us. God loves each of us as if there was only one of us. Have we even tried to grasp his love for us? I encourage you to do that this Christmas. And then finally, be filled and flowing with God's love. You see, I don't know about you, this Christmas, I get really excited about Christmas, but sometimes there might be some moments over Christmas that can become quite tense and quite, like, fear-inducing. Maybe it's around the Christmas table where you're like, you've got that family member that you're like, oh my word, this is going to be hard. They're going to say something, he's going to rile me, it's going to get me angry. I've just got to keep it down here and it's going to spoil my Christmas day, but I'm not going to let anybody know that it's going to spoil my Christmas day. I'm not feeling that bad Christmas day, Nikki, just to let you know. But that may be how we're feeling at times over Christmas. And so how do we handle those situations and how do we move forward in love to people that we're maybe finding more difficult this Christmas? Well, it starts with knowing, being filled and flowing with God's love. And Paul says in Ephesians, he says, once we grasp how wide and how high and how long and how deep the love of Christ is, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Well, you see, as we grow, being filled to the measure of the fullness of God is growing in his character, growing in his love, growing in his wisdom, growing in all the characters of God that we adore about him. As we grow in the fullness of those things, as we grow in what it means to know that we are loved by God, from that position, we can then go and love others in a way that is unconditional, that is persistent, that is transformational. And so on Christmas Day, you can love with a love that is a genuine love, that is not a forced love, but a way of saying, I know how much I'm loved by God. This person is loved by God too. And you know what? I don't have to suppress my feelings. Actually, what I can do is I can just show genuine love and compassion for that person. And so, guys, this Christmas, let's experience the love that is unlike the world, the unconditional love of God. Let's be rooted in the reality of his love. Let's know and kneel before God's love. Let's grasp the grandeur of God's love, and let's be filled and flowing with God's love. Just as we, I've got three questions, and there's quite a lot of sub-questions to it, so there's probably about 10 questions, but they're on your sheets. And I'd love us to have maybe just 4 minutes now, starting off looking at this, maybe just looking at question one to begin with. Because we can hear the word of God, and then we can go away and not think about it until next week, and we have another sermon. But really, we want something to a takeaway. We want to be hearers and doers of the word. And so maybe this Christmas, in what ways do you still try to earn God's love, or doubt that it's truly unconditional? Number two, what practices or habits help you remain rooted in God's love? What prevents you from being deeply grounded in it? And finally, how is God's love transforming the way that you live and love and respond to others? Let's just take a few moments. Sam, if you don't mind putting some music on in the background, that would be great. I'll spend some moments reflecting on that and have one takeaway that you think, I'm going to try and obey this week. Individually, sorry. be tempting to forget about this for the next week. I'm going to ask you to do one thing now, if that's all right, is either on your phone or on this piece of paper you've got there, is like, is there anything that you think, I want to obey off the back of this? Something that you feel like you've been challenged on, you're like, oh, I want to meditate on scripture more so I can understand God's love for me. I want to not try and earn his love, and I can see I can do it in this way. I think it's sometimes good just to take like one thing away that you can actually put into action in this week and pray into. So I'm going to give you 1 minute to have a think about that. We're not going to share them out, so don't worry. But if you've got your phone, write them on your phone or on your piece of paper, and then remember to be focusing on that this week. And then I'm going to give you one more thing to do. Is there someone that you could tell anything from what you've heard this morning or what you've written down for yourself? Is there anyone that you want to tell this to? Maybe have a think of a name. Maybe you could text them this afternoon. Did you know that God loves you? Or I need to know that God loves me more by doing this, or whatever it may be. Have a think. Is there someone you could tell anything about how much God loves in this world? To end our time, I'm going to pray for us, but then I'm going to encourage us as we kind of finish our formal time together, is I'd love us, before we start packing anything away, is to go and find somebody else and just share something that stood out to you from our time worshipping together this morning. Okay, so before any chairs are packed away or any children are collected, let's do that. So I'm just going to pray for us, and then I encourage us to get up from our seats and to move around and start chatting with one another. And Father God, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that it's shown to us in your scriptures. Thank you that it's shown to us through sending your Son to come to earth, to leave the splendor of heaven, and to come and be amongst us, to come as a baby, not into a palace, but into a stable. Not into a wealthy family, but into a poor family. And yet you kind of rewrote what love looks like and what love is. Thank you, Lord, that your love is not self-serving. It's not temporary. But, Lord, it is unconditional. And it's open to absolutely anybody that bows their knee and says, I need you, Jesus. I need the perfect life that you lived for me, the death that you willingly died for me to pay the cost of my sins, and that you defeated death and rose again on the third day and ascended into heaven so that anyone that believes in you shall not perish but have eternal life. It's the wonderful love that you've shown us. And Lord, help us this week go out into this world and love others in the same way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's stand, let's walk around, let's start chatting with people maybe you've not seen before, tell them something that stood out to you.